The first thing I have to say is that I am very thankful that it's done snowing. The second thing I have to say is thank you, Mark, for all of your songs. I appreciate them. I am a little sad there's no bass lead songs today, because now that I have this cold, I can really go deep. And anyway, maybe you can find one for the last song, right? And get in there and go deep on that. So anyway, I remember a series of lessons that Marty would give called Lessons from the Boy. Well, I'm going to have lessons from the boys. The boys. My two boys have given me lessons this week. And it started Wednesday night. Carson was coming home from work. And north of Highway 163 on 80th, there's like this little S-curve thing. And, you know, it's snowing, and it's a wet snow, and it's compacting, and it's getting really slick. And he goes into the ditch. He goes into the ditch right there, that little S-curve. And I'm at home trying to make supper for the family, and I get this phone call from Carson, and I can't understand a single word he's saying. He talks so low, and I can't hear that well, and my speaker on my phone doesn't go high enough. All I can hear is ditch. And I'm like, what? And finally I say, just text me. And he goes, I'm in the ditch. Just head like you're going to Altoona. I'm like, what? That doesn't give me much information of where I'm supposed to be looking for you, because between our house and Altoona, there's some serious deep ditches. So anyway, we're driving along, and I took Brady with me. He was home because we were going to plow snow that night. And finally, we see him, and there he is in the ditch. And as I'm pulling up, there's Carson. He's standing outside of his car with no hat on, with a flimsy little jacket on, with no gloves, and he's wearing the brightest white sneakers you could find. And I'm sitting there thinking, having flashbacks of my dad talking to me as a child. It's cold outside. Get a hat on. It's cold outside. Get your gloves on. When you're driving in the winter, have a blanket, have a coat, have boots. Be prepared. Be prepared. And there's my kid out there in the snow, unprepared. And I'm thinking, man, that memory come back pretty hard. But I'm also a little bit frustrated at the same time, and because I know what's going to have to happen here. At some point in time, dear old dad's going to have to lay down in the snow, dig underneath his car, and try to find a place to hook the chain onto to pull him out. But I'm thinking to myself, okay, you can't let the kids see you get frustrated. This has to be somehow a positive experience with your children. And so I did pretty good. I got underneath the car, and I'm shoveling away, and usually there's a cross member that you can hook your chain onto somewhere. But man, he was so buried in the snow, I couldn't find it, and there was all this plastic cowling underneath, and I'm like, man, I can't take this stuff apart. So I'm starting to get frustrated because I'm laying in the snow, I'm getting cold, I'm wet. Nothing is working right. Nothing ever works right. You know that, right? Nothing ever works right. Never goes the way you want it to. So finally, I went against my better judgment, and I wrapped a chain around the lower arm control of the car, which isn't really all that sturdy, and you could kind of pull it apart if you're... So I'm like, what am I going to do? So I wrapped the chain around the lower arm control, and I'm like, okay, so I'm going to start pulling. You go really slow, and we'll come out of this ditch. And so everything came out beautifully. I'm like, sweet. I'm going to get to go home soon and get some supper. Because I was, you know, that's really all that's important in life is sleeping and eating. And so I find out that when I go to take the chain off, the chain is stuck in the lower arm control, and there's a little bolt there, and so my log chain is pinched in between the lower arm control and that bolt. Oh, I can't get it out. I'm kicking it, I'm hitting it, And I'm like, oh, I got a hammer in my truck. I'll go get the hammer. Searching all over inside my truck for the hammer, and I can't find it. I must have taken it out to use it somewhere else. So I had to go back to my shop, come back with the hammer, and I also had like a super bar. I don't know if any of you know what a super bar is, but it's like a wide crowbar. And I was going to use that, and I was going to pound on that and get that out of there. Just not working. And I'm sitting there getting frustrated. I'm like, nope, don't get frustrated. It's got to be a positive experience. Got to be a positive experience. I got to learn something out of this. And eventually I got the chain loose and we got home and had supper. And Brady and I went out and started plowing snow. And then, that was an interesting experience with Carson. I didn't realize that Brady and Carson were this competitive. So Thursday night, Brady decides that he wants to get his car stuck. So Thursday night, I'm taking my daughter to Riemann Music for French horn lessons. I come home, I'm driving up the driveway, and Sophia's in the car with me. And there's Brady leaning up against his car with his arms crossed like this, and the shovel is leaning up against his car. And anybody who knows where I live, I have this long driveway. On the south side of my driveway is this big, huge ditch, and the yard's pretty steep. I'm really shocked that Brady didn't go to the ditch. And on the other side, we got this big old pond that is, you know, you can slide down to that too. So I see this, and I'm not quite as calm and collected with this one because I'm tired. I'm cranky. I haven't had much sleep, and all I really wanted to do is take a nap before I had to go out and plow snow again. And so I get myself ready, and Brady comes up to the truck, and I can see on his face that he's dejected. He's hating on himself. He knows he made a mistake. I could tell that he'd been crying, and he was really, his expectations were way out of whack on this thing, and he just was hating on himself, like I said. And I said, Brady, you got to come with me to the shop because I only got one chain in my truck. We're going to need two. This was a two-chain job. So on the way back to the shop, I'm talking to Brady, and inside I'm frustrated, but I'm trying to go, okay, this is a learning moment for my son. There's no use of putting more salt in through the injury here. You've got to pump him up. And the thing is, everybody makes mistakes, Brady. Everybody does these things. And don't be so hard on yourself. This is how we learn. We need to take the mistakes in our life, and we need to learn from them. And so I think I kind of got him caught up and feeling better about himself, although it's kind of hard that when you're really down on yourself, it's kind of hard to get back on up on top. But hopefully I gave him some good words to live by and to live by. And you know, I think a lot of times we as human beings, and maybe not everybody, but for me especially, I know where Brady got his hating on himself thing, because I kind of do the same thing. I have these really high expectation that everything's going to go just as planned, and when they don't go as planned, I get frustrated and I freak out a little bit. Maybe a lot of it, right? So maybe a lot of it. But anyway, we got him out, and luckily he had that cross member available that I could hook onto. I wasn't scared of that, but we got him out of the ditch. And so through that night, I was thinking about the two boys and what they did and how it went. We have Carson. When I pulled up, he was a little more calm, cool, collected. He knew Dad was going to take care of it. And then we have Brady, who had this mistake, and he had higher expectations for himself, and he was hating on himself, and he wished he hadn't done what he had done. He knew better, but he went ahead and did it anyway. And so I was thinking about that. with when people run into problems, they're just different reactions. You're going to get different reactions from different people. And it started me thinking about Alex Needham's reading last Sunday morning, which was in Jude and verses 22 and 23 I want to bring our attention to. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And I think that's important to put that in there, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of fire. Now, everybody handles things differently. And we need to be very conscious of how they handle things and how we work with them. If a person is one who is hating on themselves all the time, we don't want to go after them, pulling them out of the fire and being rough with them. We want to take more of the compassionate approach, more of the patient approach, because it says that it's going to make a difference. It's going to make a difference with them. Other people, we're going to have to know their personality. And I'm going to say probably 90% of the people need to be dealt with compassion. Probably 10% of the people need to, you know, be yanked out of there. But so I was thinking about that. The other thing I was thinking about with these two boys was not being prepared. And that's one of the things that my dad always hammered on us is being prepared. I don't think anybody in this building knows how prepared my dad was. In every vehicle he had, there was a toolbox. There was belts. There was anything that he could fix on the road in the trunk of that car or in the back of that truck. And I even remember one car, he even had a water pump. I'm like, Dad, a water pump? Really? You know, being a young kid, you make fun of your parents because that's ridiculous. But you know, the more that I go through life, the more I find myself just like my dad, making sure that I have all the tools I need in my vehicle to make sure that I can fix any problem that may arise. I'm making sure that I have a big tote in the back seat of my truck that has multiple hats, multiple gloves, another pair of boots. I have goggles and a ski mask and all kinds of warm clothes, because when I was a kid, I never got cold, but now I'm cold all the time. It's terrible. So I was thinking about the virgins, the 10 virgins, how 5 of them were wise and they were prepared, and 5 of them were not prepared. And the 5 that were not prepared, they missed out because they were gone trying to get more oil when the bridegroom came. But the 5 that were prepared were able to go in with the bridegroom to the wedding feast. And what's interesting about this whole preparedness thing, and you don't think about it as a kid, but I think we learn as we get older how fast things really happen. Carson, in no time, he was in the ditch. Just like that, he was in the ditch. Brady, just like that, he was stuck. It happens so quickly to us, for us. And I was thinking about Randy Engel. You know, a couple of years ago, he was in a semi accident. And he really had nowhere to go. If he went to the left, it's my left, right? If he went to the left, he would have hit cars. If he went straight, he would have hit the semi. If he went right, he was going to go into a ditch. What was his option? All he could do is hold on to the wheel and just go for the ride. And it happened like that. He was helpless. He was helpless. So the thing of it is we've got to be prepared. And that story of the 10 virgins, I think, show that. And we as Christians, we need to be prepared. And the one way that we can be prepared is getting baptized. And once we are baptized, bringing on that new man, that new spirit. So at the end of every lesson, at the end of every service, we provide a gospel invitation. And that's what we're going to do today. We don't really know what's in store for us the next moment. So we need to be prepared. And we're going to give you that opportunity to come forward and be baptized, to be prepared, to put yourself on that right path with God so that you can have that opportunity to be saved when He comes again.